Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We're at our COVID slot this afternoon. It is 25 past four. On the line is Dr. Daniel Israel, a GP at Dr. Daniel Israel and Associates. How are you doing this afternoon, Daniel?
Doing wonderful, Simon. Hope you are also.
Most well, thank you. And you are going to tackle this issue this afternoon of whether COVID affects the brain and not just the lungs.
Yeah, it certainly makes us lazy and not want to go back into the office. So it must affect our brain, right?
100%, yeah. Hands up.
On a serious note, COVID was, we all saw it as a respiratory disease at the beginning. I mean, any person who thinks about COVID thinks at the beginning about, you know, breathing in things, masks, everything. Ventilation is, it's always been a respiratory angle to it.
Yeah.
And most people know that there has been a lot of work around whether there's increased clotting in COVID. So that was like a bit of a cardiovascular side to it. But certainly there's more and more research coming out showing that COVID is actually, affects many systems in your body, including your neurological system. And there was recently a paper that's come out. It was published in the journal called Science. And we must remember that different papers have different levels of evidence. So we can't take all research as being like gospel. But this paper has shown that certainly it impacts the nervous system. Now, if you look at it from your and my understanding on the ground is that we know that when people lose their taste and their smell, that is an effect of the olfactory nerve. So an osmia is when you lose your smell, and that alone is neurological. But certainly this paper is showing that much more subtle things, like when people have COVID and they talk about their inability to think clearly afterwards and brain fog as it's described, and is actually may well be caused by the virus being able to get past the blood-brain barrier and into the nervous system, which then affects these abilities. And interestingly, the amount that it crosses the blood-brain barrier may be a predictor of who will get long COVID and who won't. So people who have a short viremic episode and the virus is in and out and it doesn't cross, may be left with less long COVID than someone who it actually crosses the blood-brain barrier. We started seeing this research coming out in, you know, last year already, there was already papers about it, but even now the press and are reporting news researchers who are calling for greater and better robust studies on how COVID affects our brains.
Daniel, and kind of one has to take into account the fact that this research was done a year ago, thereabouts. We had a very different strain, Delta, much more aggressive strain. Could they say with any certainty at all whether the same would apply to Omicron?
So I don't think the research is that developed, although we must remember that if any good research going forward, the predominant strain in the world is Omicron. So if we start seeing the same clinical manifestations now, then you could make a deduction that it's Omicron. But, you know, like to dovetail that question, people often ask, you know, is Omicron giving long COVID? And interestingly, certainly like doctors on the ground, we are seeing a lot of people have COVID and don't feel so bad when they have COVID. And I say, I hardly had any symptoms. My nose was running and a little headache.
Yeah.
But a week or two later, they're coughing terribly and exhausted. And I mean, I think that's proof in itself, just anecdotally, that Omicron does have ongoing effects. Now, will those effects last forever? No. And the people will certainly get better. But it's not a question of like, as soon as the person is no longer contagious, that they are guaranteed not to have any symptoms. So we're still going to have a little bit of respect for COVID from that perspective.
As always, Daniel Israel, thank you so much for your input this whole week. Shabbat shalom to you, and we'll do it all again next week.
Shabbat shalom.